going on, you cuck-nadians? Welcome to Gruntspeak Nutso.
Live from the lair!
Deep glop and floop-de-doo at your service. And today's story is about some messed up RP business that took place around Sarnia and London, Ontario, Canada.
All right, so for the record, I used to kickbox in Ontario in Sarnia quite a bit.
Nice.
Plus, I drove through Sarnia when I was coming back from New York. Not really a fan of Canada, especially when they started really tossing my vehicle so bad, I literally had to stop going through Canada because it would take 90 minutes to put it all back together.
Doesn't shock me. And that was pre-Justin Trudeau era.
Yeah.
It's probably 100 times worse now. But, hey, you know, that's just conjecture and conspiracy theory talk, right? Yeah.
Yep.
Because, you know, Mr. Trudeau, you know, demon spawn of Castro, never forced anybody to get a jab.
No.
No. All those trucks, you know, clogging up the expressways and surrounding Parliament, that was all just a figment of your imagination.
Yep.
Now, this comes to us from a gentleman who, we'll call him Kevin. All right.
Kevy.
And he, apparently, was the best man at the wedding of the particular couple that we're speaking about here today. Do you like stories about serial killers? What about psychics? How about a psychic serial killer with a conscience wiping out the filth of society?
Yeah!
If you thought Dexter was a great show that went soft in its final seasons, these are the books for you. Introducing The Jericho Files, written by an old infantry grunt who has seen evil firsthand and digested it into grade-A gore porn with 5-star reviews all around. Click on the link tree in the Meat Gazer box and buy your copies today on Amazon, you filthy, dirty riggers. This story is about the ex-wife, the expatriated, withdrawn, indignant fornicator entertainer by the name of Lorraine Egan, of an ex-friend of mine, Mark, who married his high school girlfriend after dating her for 7 years.
Yeah, what could go wrong?
Was married to her for 1 year. I was the best man at their wedding in 1998.
Okay.
Then she divorced him for drinking beer and smoking weed with her brother, Clint.
Was it just one time?
I.e., just being 24 years old. While she worked as a psych nurse at Blue Water Hospital's mental health unit.
All right.
Okay, drinking beer and smoking weed is suddenly a divorceable offense.
Hey, look.
To each their own, I guess.
Women get nuts. She probably married the guy, was kind of hesitant when she married him.
Yeah, maybe.
And then when she lived with him for a year, she's like, you know, I'll look for any excuse, and I'll just harpoon his back and leave.
Yeah, he's not making
enough
money.
This is Canada anyway.
I have become accustomed to a certain lifestyle. Where? Mark and Lorraine started dating in 1991. I met them in 93. They moved to Sarnia in 94 so Lorraine could go to nursing school. I rarely saw Mark from 94 to 97. I was walking to and from work saving money, and I rarely socialized. I was only making $9.03 an hour in Canadian dollars at my lame job.
That's like $7 an hour American.
Ugh. But I was determined, saved my money, and purchased a small house in a depressed area in April of 96. I was only 22 years old, and I didn't actually start driving regularly until the spring of 97. You know what? If you bought a house...
At 22, that's
good.
At
22, making that much per hour?
You're on your game.
Very much so. Well done, sir. After that, Mark hung out at my place a few nights a week, and we worked on my two cheap borderline derelict cars to try to keep me driving instead of walking.
Yeah, Canada's got some crazy car laws.
Really?
Yeah, like... If your car is like too damaged, or at any time when you fail inspection, they literally, if it goes over a certain dollar amount, they total the vehicle. You can't drive it.
That sounds familiar. Yeah. Mark worked in London during the week and drove to Sarnia on weekends. He paid for most of Lorraine's rent with his job, with his family business in London, while she went to school and worked as a shooter girl at a Sarnia strip club.
Oh, God.
Wah, wah, wah.
All right,
all
gentlemen.
Right,
we already... All right. First, how many times have I said this? Do not get in LTRs with anyone who works in the sex industry, either directly or indirectly.
Yeah, this might be sex industry adjacent, but she's still going to reek of it.
Yeah, listen. Oh, I only serve cocktails there. Shut up.
Emphasis on the first syllable. And on top of that, she knows that she's saving up for a more lucrative career. This is not the first time that a dude has provided for a woman while she, you know, works toward her dreams. And then as soon as she achieves it and gets the salary that goes along with it, suddenly she thinks she's too good for him, mm-hmm. and we're off to the race.
And he gets jettisoned.
Ejectocito! He continues, Mark told me that in high school he'd had a half a dozen friends, but they had all tried to steal his girlfriend, Lorraine, so he stopped talking to them. Now, did they actually try to steal his girlfriend, Lorraine? Or did she say that they tried to steal her away?
Because this happens a lot. She hits on his friends.
Yep.
They say they're not interested. And then she gets a little bit of panic and tells the husband or boyfriend, your friends are trying to get with me.
Yep. Same thing happens when they're actually successful in the cheating and it doesn't go according to plan.
Oh, well, he just rat paid me.
Yeah. Get out of here.
I think we know where this is going.
Yes, this is not going anywhere good. And every stop along the way, we're going to have to get another scoop of shit for the shit-ass fucking Sunday.
You're correct. Let's put the cherry on top and call it complete. I only saw Lorraine 4 to 5 times between a work Christmas party in 93 and the wedding itself in April of 98, so I had no idea about the truth of her behavior. Mm-hmm. Since Mark had lost his high school friends, he asked me to be the best man at his wedding. His side of the wedding was his brother Kurt, Lorraine's brother Clint, and myself as the best man, so he wouldn't have to choose between his brother and her brother. Makes sense.
Him losing his high school friends? That is, like, so common.
Very common.
People, like, in high school, they don't understand. By the time you're a year and a half out of high school, you don't even talk to those people anymore.
Yep.
Very rarely. I mean, I'm friends with, like, 2 people today that I went to high school with. The rest of them can pound sand, catch on fire, and jump into a goddamn volcano for all I care.
Lorraine had previously tried to set me up with one of her friends and had told me to be nice to the strippers if I ever stopped by the Riverport Tavern.
No.
My first clue should have been all his friends supposedly trying to steal her, but I was too young and naive to understand what that meant. That's okay. That's what we're here for. We know.
We're the naive breakers.
After their wedding, I saw them 3 times as a couple, and Lorraine started low-key flirting with me.
Okay. Now we know.
Yeah. As if we had any question about it.
She probably wants you to smash her tonsils and then, leave a couple deliveries in the warehouse. And who knows? She might look back and go, put it in my butt.
Alcohol-related incident upon request only.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that at all.
Shit happens. 2 comments I specifically remember are her and Mar showing up in a new truck, and she asked me if she was sexy in her new truck. And I said, sure, I guess, in a bewildered tone.
That's like a dude would usually say that.
Yeah. Second time was when they stopped by my place, and she had a toy kazoo. And she asked me if I wanted to blow her kazoo. Mm. I assumed she was joking, so I said, isn't that my line? And that's what I was said, actually.
Yeah, I like it. I like it.
Later, Mark said some passive-aggressive comments about how he used to beat up people that tried to flirt with his girlfriend. I was 90 pounds heavier and nearly twice as strong as he was, so I didn't know if he was talking about high school or if he was talking about me. Hmm. Well, you didn't bite, so you don't have to worry about that.
Well, also, I mean, she's obviously a diarrhea mouth on top of all this.
And a bit of a narcissist. I was so wrong, and Mark's father was right to distrust her. Barely a year after the wedding, Lorraine kicked him out because he wasn't trying to get ahead.
Here we go.
He spent his free time in Sarnia drinking and smoking weed with Clint, Lorraine's brother. They had been together over 8 years, and Mark had spent the last 4 working and supporting her housing while she went to school for nursing.
But
she had graduated and had a job as a psychiatric nurse. She was getting rid of him. Shocker!
That happens all the time. Gentlemen,
yep.
Pay attention to the story. Number one. Number two, you get with a woman, check her credit. If she's got a bunch of student loans, she's not the girl for you.
No. She wants you to pay the debt, and then you're gone.
And then she'll jettison you.
Let's pretend that's not true.
Yeah.
And you will be the mummified husk.
Yes. It gets worse.
Oh, God. He says.
Mark's father called me and said Mark was back at his home and needed me to help him move his stuff from Sarnia to his dad's place in London. His father had several delivery vans for his family business, so we got one of those and drove to Sarnia to collect Mark's things. Lorraine was vicious. She told Mark he should be able to get a new girlfriend, but that he just shouldn't show her a picture of his junk.
That's whore talk.
Yeah, my guess is she's insinuating that he's got small pee-pee energy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if she loses interest in him, it doesn't matter if it's 18 inches, it's still small dick energy.
That's the thing. Like, these women, they claim that your body count doesn't matter. They say that, well, all you care about is sex, blah, blah, blah. But as soon as you have become their enemy, they always go after your money and
your
sexual prowess. Yep. Because those are the two things they care about the most. They claim that it's the other way around, but all evidence to the contrary.
What about relationship for your mother? You can't get laid. Who hurt you? Okay.
Mm-hmm. All that BS. Lorraine also left her birth control spotlight on an entirely empty dining table so it would be the only thing you could see, implying that she was active. Again, attacking his sexual prowess.
Yep.
My initial shock had already worn off and the clues had sunk in on the drive from London to Sarnia, so I wasn't even surprised. She left the apartment and we quickly collected his stuff and got the hell out before she could come back. I never saw Lorraine again, and 6 years later, she would be murdered by her much older half-brother, Paul.
Well, sounds to me like this dude dodged a bullet.
Yeah, he could have been victim number two.
Mm-hmm.
Mark moved back home with his father and younger brother and started drinking even more and still smoking weed with Lorraine's brother, Clint, only now in London instead of Sarnia. This seemed a little odd to me, but they had actually been friends before Mark and Lorraine started dating in high school. Mm. So I get that then. Mark and Clint suggested that they should get me to come smoke weed with them myself, but I'm a straight edge, so I jokingly told them not to drag me down into their hell.
Yep.
I'm a well-known square who has only been drunk four times in my entire life, so I was surprised to see a bit of hurt and even anger with Mark, but Clint was cool and he laughed.
Yeah.
One time Mark and I were talking about girls and he said that he'd spent over 6 months trying to get Lorraine to date him before she finally said yes. Mm-hmm. I responded that I never asked a girl for her number for a date more than once.
Yep.
The fact that he spent half a year doing everything he could think of to get an abusive girlfriend and I never chase women for anything is interesting.
Simpy.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if that has a parallel with him being a degenerate, emotionally needy stoner and me being a stoic, puritanical, straight-edge square.
I'll go with the straight-edge square.
I think that there's a correlation there on both sides. It works. But yeah, the best way to get women to chase you is to be the stoic, puritanical, straight-edge square. Just pretend like you can take them or leave them.
Yep.
And because they're so used to getting attention, they want to know why they're not getting it from you. But when you chase a woman, you give her the power.
And she'll use it against you.
He continues, Clint remaining friends with Mark meant that I would occasionally hear about Lorraine's increasingly deviant behavior. I remained distant friends with Mark for another decade or so, but we never hung out more than a few times a year. Our lifestyles were too different to really mesh, but we remained in regular contact, and that's how I heard from Mark about Lorraine's incestuous, allegedly, relationship with her much older half-brother, Paul.
That's nasty.
After Lorraine's death, Clint allegedly read her diary and told Mark what he'd learned, and Mark relayed some info to me. Bullet point number one. Lorraine was allegedly hooking up with several first responders she was coming into contact with in her capacity as a nurse.
That's very common. Listen, I married an ER nurse, and I got taken to the cleaners and the emergency room.
Yeah, this is my shocked face.
Yeah. Oof.
Bullet point number two. Lorraine had allegedly had several abortions from not using the BC pill that she wanted to rub Mark's face in.
Wow. Lovely. Okay.
Number three, Lorraine's allegedly odd relationship with her much older half-brother was fodder for family gossip before the, the murder-suicide by Paul.
It was a murder-suicide?
Murder-suicide.
Whew.
Now, remember, everything I'm reporting is third-hand hearsay, but after Lorraine's murder-suicide, a post from a simp showed up online in 2005. One of Lorraine's high school beta orbiters was dreaming of their unrequited love and seemingly had no idea what she was actually like, but he put up this post. I actually stumbled across this in 2014 when trying to find out if the gossip had any merit or if it was just slander by an angry ex. This poor bastard has no idea how lucky he got not having to deal with her in any capacity.
Yeah.
According to this post, allegedly, every old simp from high school who heard about her divorce from Mark called her family trying to get together with her.
Ooh.
Be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, because you just might fucking get it. Yeah. And it's a curse.
I should mention that I never understood the attraction. She was reasonably attractive and had a vivacious personality, but I still don't understand the small horde of beta orbiter simps.
It's the personality.
Yeah, it's the personality. And you know where that vivacious personality comes from?
Being with a buttload of dudes. Yeah.
Women who can make men feel at ease have learned that behavior by betting a lot of dudes.
Yes.
Usually. Lorraine looked a little like Mila Kunis, but I'm more into blondes and gingers than brunettes.
Fair enough. To each his own.
The following post was so surreal to find that I copy-pasted it into an open office document and saved it for reference. It contains a news article within the post that seemingly referenced the third-hand information about her deviant behavior, allegedly.
Allegedly.
Yes, this comes from a user named Suther. This is the post. Joined May 20th, 2005, and this was the only message they put in. Is there anyone from high school that you were in love with, but never had the courage to say so?
Everyone has one.
Yeah, everybody's got one. Or where, due to circumstances, you were just never able to hook up?
Typically, if you don't hook up with her, it has nothing to do with circumstances. She just did not want to.
Exactly. In high school, women are in charge of the dating scene.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Lock, stock, and two empty barrels on the football team. Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? I have one. And for the last 12 years, I've been trying to get in contact with her. You simp, man.
Stop simping.
Just dying to sit down with her and catch up and see where it would lead.
Listen, that woman is a sperm sponge now.
I actually tracked her down about 5 years ago through a mutual friend. I heard she had just got divorced and ended up getting her phone number.
Mm-hmm.
It took me about a month to muster up the courage to call her. And when I did, I got her older brother answering the phone. I talked to him for about 10 minutes, and he told me that she's tired of guys from high school calling her since she's been divorced, which is understandable.
Okay.
Wow. She must have been on the cute side if she's getting this many dudes calling. Anyway, yep. I accepted that and ended up in a relationship that lasted about 4 years. But even then, in the back of my mind, I would always find myself thinking about her. When my relationship came to an end, I tried yet again to track her down.
This is a prime example of somebody living their life, driving forward, but only looking in the rearview mirror. That's how you train wreck your life.
About 20 minutes ago, while reading the newspaper, I found her. And this is an excerpt from the article. Paul Egan was an affectionate man who cared deeply for the half-sister he killed last week in a mysterious murder-suicide, a relative says. Why, wow. The 44-year-old entrepreneur and father of six.
Damn.
Killed Lorraine Egan, 29, and then himself inside of her Sarnia high-rise remained unclear yesterday, but his family says the gunshots did not mark the boiling point of a simmering sibling rivalry.
Okay, hang on. Canada's not supposed to have guns. What happened?
It's very difficult to get guns in Canada. I know he was very close to Lorraine, Donna Jones said of her Uncle Paul yesterday. He loved his sister very much, maybe a little too much. Last Thursday evening, Paul Egan killed his sister near the lobby of 1285 Sandy Lane before shooting himself, shocking Sarnia and those who knew the shooter and the victim. Jones, 27, said the family won't publicly explain Egan's motive. Ellen Egan, Lorraine's mother, who was married to Paul's father, has declined to comment. Lorraine Egan was a nurse with Blue Water Hospital's mental health unit. A co-worker described her as vibrant and energetic.
Well, she was getting bent over and blasted from behind by her half-brother. I mean, that's what was going on, and they didn't want to talk about it.
Yeah. So. Yeah, that vibrance and energy comes from, you know, spunk drunk.
Ah!
A London native, she studied nursing at Lambton College and worked at Blue Water Hospital for 7 years. Jones spoke up yesterday in defense of his huggy-kissy uncle who left 6 kids, the oldest 22. But she wept at the mention of his name and struggled when detailing his life. Mm. Paul Egan, she said, wasn't raised by Maurice Egan, the father he shared with Lorraine. Instead, he was raised from a young age by an aunt and an uncle who treated him as their own son. He and Lorraine Egan only met a few years ago, she added. My uncle loved everyone, Jones said, a little too much. He loved his children, loved his family, and most of all, he loved his sister. Again, a little too much.
A little too much.
Paul's twin brother died of cancer 2 years ago, just as their father did in 2000. Though she wouldn't comment on what led to last week's tragedy, Jones asked people to not judge the shooter. The murderer?
Hang on. Whoa.
The murderer who was banging his half-sister and left behind 6 kids?
Yeah, that's bad.
Without a father?
Yeah, that's fucked up.
I can't tell you the personal things that happened between him and his sister, but he wasn't some crazy maniac, she said. Anyone who knew my Uncle Paul knew whatever happened Thursday night was not my Uncle Paul. Whatever happened in his life to make this happen, this was not him. This was not the way he was.
But all it takes is you just go off the reservation once and this could happen.
Wow. Yeah, people really will just make excuses for things over and over again.
Well, I'm going to be honest. There was a couple times in my life where I was like literally on the edge of doing some reprehensible shit like that.
And that's why Darren got you drunk.
Yep. And he saved my life. Really, he did.
Wow. This goes back to the post here. Such unusual feelings course through me. A whirlwind. There's an utter rage to find out that she was murdered. There's guilt. The what if we hooked up. You wouldn't have saved her. She still would have been banging her head.
Listen, I'm sure she was very attractive, and it was a waste of good pussy. And maybe that's what you're feeling. You're a little upset that the pussy was wasted, but that's just the way it goes.
Look, bottom line, a lot of us will regret the risks we didn't take.
Mm-hmm.
But in this particular instance, I would say that the risk definitely outweighed the reward.
You dodged a bullet on this one, brother.
Quite literally, you might have dodged two or three. There's self-anger that I didn't have the courage in my youth, sadness that I will never know, and grief-stricken to know that such a beautiful inside-and-out woman is no longer here. Yeah, she's so beautiful that she...
She did a lot of ugly shit.
Yeah, let's see. She used and abused a dude who paid for her to have a place to live so she could work her way at the Shake It Club through medical school, mm-hmm. only to turn around and dump him as soon as she, you know, had the new lifestyle that she wanted. And then after that, became a carousel rider, and on that carousel was her 44-year-old half-brother.
All right, hang on. What year was this she dancing?
Late 90s.
I probably saw her.
She probably brought you some cocktails.
Well, I was fighting the circuit back then, and I went to Canada all the time. I hung out in the strip bars.
No, did you never? No, you would never.
No.
Objectify women just to.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Well, draw in younger dudes and.
Well, my trainer, the cut man, they're all about booze, cocaine, and strippers. What? So.
And let's be completely honest.
They would drag me along with them.
And the men who go to these establishments don't objectify women. These women objectify themselves.
That's right.
And then claim that they were victimized later when the money dries up. So
that's where you get a large majority of the apparate complaints.
Yeah, yeah, because, you know, Mia Khalifa, you know, Lana Rhodes aren't totally turning coat on the career that made them a household name.
Yep.
You know, because the money dried up and they've hit the wall.
Things happen, man.
They do indeed. And this is some weird shit to have happen. Wow. I mean, what can you even say about this?
Well, listen, women get whacked all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying this woman deserved it. I don't know what the hell was going on. But typically, if there's a murder-suicide, you can bet SCX is involved somewhere in that equation.
Mm-hmm. Now, the author who sent us this wraps it up with this thought. I think this is right up your alley, and your audience would get some real-life lessons out of this sad morality tale. I think you're 1,000% correct.
Yeah, you are.
If you think this story is good, I have lots more that you almost wouldn't believe, but I think you might. Feel free to email me if you need clarification or any additional info. Hey, send more stories over, bro.
We'll read the stories, man.
Because this is one of the crazier ones that we've gotten. I mean, there wasn't a mob boss in this one.
No.
Because that one's...
That was a damn good story.
That's a gold standard, but this is damn good. I mean, it's unfortunate that people had to lose their lives, you know, to bring us this story. But unfortunately, that's just the nature of the beast. It happens every day.
Yeah, it does. It does.
Wow. And there is not a single... piece of peace leave out there walking that is worth this. This is a, you want to talk about a permanent solution to a temporary problem, and I guarantee you the problem was very similar to what his buddy went through with her.
Probably was.
All of a sudden, there's somebody new, he's older, he's got resources, he's been pre-selected, he's got other kids.
Mm-hmm.
So she tries to get in there, and then she realizes maybe the juice isn't worth the squeeze. Eh, whatever. I can leave my birth control out on the table again and make sure that he knows that I'm a commodity.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
Vada boom, vada bing!
Dude gets sick and tired of, you know, getting his 10 taco stand robbed on the side of the road. There you go.
There you go, man.
Whatever. You want to take the 10 tacos out of my truck? That's fine. I still have something for you in the glove compartment.
Yeah, I got robbed by a 10 taco.
Extra hot sauce.
Nature's hot sauce.
So, you know, rest in peace to the people involved in this scenario. But let's just say... I think they have a little bit of culpability in their own demise.
Yes. Yes, you do.
In all likelihood. No one deserves what happened here.
To get murdered?
Yeah. No one deserves what happened here, but a lot of people, they walk blindly into these situations, only thinking about themselves, and it's clear that she is one of those people.
Yep. 100%.
She exists only to further her own life, her own aspirations, her own dreams, and everybody else, especially the men who help her on that journey.
Be damned.
You're right. As much as it sucks to say that in this situation.
Basically, what you said in your word salad is the women of today are very mercenary.
They're very mercenary.
Yep.
They look out for number one.
Yep. That's mercenary thinking.
That's pretty much it. Their heads are always on a swivel looking for the next best thing because they have been taught from a young age what they can expect when they go out into the world, whereas men are told this is what you have to provide and do when you go out in the world. You want to talk about a lopsided power dynamic.
Expect and do.
Yeah. And then when these ladies hit 30... suddenly, they're not on Easy Street anymore.
Nope.
Life used to be a slip and slide. Now, all of a sudden, they're down here in this loop that just kind of goes back and forth, and they realize that the goal is up here on top of the mountain that men have been climbing and struggling to get through the entire time.
Yep. And listen, they did it to themselves.
Yeah. At 30, women wake up, and now they have to live life like all the men they rejected have been living life this whole time, and they can't stand reality bites.
I've been dating for years, and I come across women in their mid-30s to late-30s, and I have no sympathy for them.
No.
I can't find a good guy. In my mind, I'm like, well, there's two or three in your past that were good guys. And you basically turned your nose up. It's on you. Sorry.
It is
not sorry.
They shoot themselves in the foot, and then they try to like wipe their prints off it and hand it to somebody else. Like, no, you did it to yourself, and now you got to live with it. Because 40 to 80
is a long fucking time.
Stop. Don't touch me there. This is my no-no square. Stop.
We'll see you next time.
Take it easy.